Well, God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 4. This past week, I've received some very heartwarming emails of thoughts and scriptures our brethren have searched out in light of what I taught last week, and I wanted to read some of these with you that I've put in an order that I'd like to read to you this morning. And also to share with you some specifics. And I want to take some time, and a lot of times when we have a lot of reading, I like to give people an opportunity to read. But this morning, I think I'd like to just read them to you myself. So if you'd like to follow along with me, you're certainly welcome to. If you just want to sit there and listen and absorb it, that's fine also. But in Proverbs chapter 4, I wanted to start here in verse 11, and the scriptures tell us, and God is telling us, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. The word of God is knowledge, and then wisdom is how we are to apply it, how we're to walk out on it. Then it tells us to get wisdom, and with all you're getting, you get understanding. Many times you can read the scriptures and you really don't understand it because there's not enough words in the human languages to really express great spiritual truth. But it gives us enough to allow us to step out on the word. It gives us instructions so that we can actually walk on the word. And then once we do that, then, oh, that's what it's all about. Oh, that's what it's like. Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, I can't express it, but it's like that. And he says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. The word gives us the instruction how to step out, or gives us enough information so we can actually step out on the scripture. He leads us to the path, but then we have to decide we're going to walk on it, start taking steps on it. In other words, I'm going to carry out what he just said. I'm going to do that. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. And enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Here's the instruction. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. You don't need to stand there and look at it. You don't need to watch it. You don't need to view it. It says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and what? Pass away, stay on the path that he has led us to. And I'm giving you a little more background to Proverbs 4:18, which was the one I started with last week, and we're headed that way. Verse 16, for the reason being, they sleep not except they have done what? What does God mean? God knows what the adversary is up to, although man does not. God knows what is evil. He also knows what is truth, and he desires for us to stay upon the truth. He says of the evil and evil men, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. That's exactly what he means. That's why we are to avoid it. That's why we are to pass not by it. We don't even have to even look at it. I've spent probably the last 8 months, I hadn't read a newspaper or watched news on the TV except to get the weather. And you know what? I did look at it, and they're still talking about and still at the same place they were 8 months ago when I last time I read it. It's still as corrupt as it was 8 months ago, and it's still as confusing as it was 8 months ago, and they are still not going to sleep unless they cause some to fall. That's what the scriptures say. That's exactly what it means. You can decide whether that's true or not. For me, I believe it is the absolute truth, and so I pass not by it. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. They may talk about, oh, we need to take the guns, you know, we need to have more legislation on guns, we need to do that, but who's giving them away? I mean, where are these countries and where all this fighting is going on, where did they get their guns? Who's shipping them to them? Or, you know, we have to be careful we don't arm the mentally ill or allow them to have a weapon, yet we arm the mentally insane, the spiritually insane. And we do it all the time. But, you know, and we accept that, and we cheer these people on and all this other stuff. It's just the way of insanity. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The perfect day is the return of Christ and the resurrections that are to come. That's the perfect day. And it says the path of the just shineth, is as a shining light that shines more and what?
More.
All the way to the perfect day. So why not stay on the path of the just? I know the world is getting worse and worse because the scriptures tell me that. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But for us, the path of the just is going to shine brighter and brighter, more all the way until the perfect day. The Amplified Bible reads, but the path of the just, parentheses, righteous, is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until it reaches full strength and glory in the perfect day. God says he knows our end, and our end is beautiful. So why not stay on the path and not be diverted? The things man say, verse 19, look, the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. Beautiful, very clear. It looks good. Seems so right. So brilliantly planned, but they what? Stumble, and they wonder why they stumble, so then they blame God. You know, we've followed the path of man, and the path of man has led us to wars. And then we turn around and say, God, why don't you stop this? It's just insanity. God, why don't you stop this war? Well, men planned it. Men went to it. Men shot each other in it. That's the plans of man. And we're led by wicked men and men of darkness. Remember, I told you that when Jesus Christ was tempted, he was shown all the glory of all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them in a moment of time. And the adversary said, this is mine, and I can give it to whomsoever I will. And I explain to you how that works. Mm-hmm. you know, I'm not against elections and those kinds of things, but I also shared with you what God said, the kind of people we're going to have that are going to lead us. Why don't we just keep God first and avoid the things of the world and their designer causes, the literature of the hour, when we have the literature of eternity right here? So we just need to make up our minds, because our path is like a shining light, and it grows brighter and brighter, more and more, all the way to that perfect day. That's what God has set for us. How far you want to go on it? Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. This great, wonderful record. And starting in verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear or respect the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that, what? Fear him. There is no want to them that fear him. We have all these different designer causes trying to take care of everybody's wants. And this and that and the other thing, and all these organizations that we make up. And yet, if they simply stayed on the path of the just, they would have no want. Something. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Isn't that beautiful? What a wonderful God we have. I'd like to go to Isaiah chapter 34 and just read some things to you, and I am going to ask you some questions. And they're simple ones for you. And then we'll start in verse Isaiah 34, verse 16, it says, seek ye out the book of the Lord, and what?
Read.
No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it for how long? From generation to generation. Does that include us?
Yes.
Absolutely. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. The wilderness, I'm going right into chapter 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. God can even make a rose bloom in the desert. That is how capable and qualified he is. Beautiful. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellence of Carmel. Carmel means a fruitful place. That's what it means. And Sharon. Sharon is one of the most fertilest places on the face of the earth. And he says he can turn the desert that way, and he will turn the desert that way. And he's set a dividing line. And the dividing line is called the path of righteousness, or the way of righteousness, as we read further down. And if we stay upon the path of righteousness, even in the desert, we will have the roses. Even in the wilderness, they will bloom. They will be fruitful like Carmel. They will be fertile like Sharon. It says, the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of God. The word excellency means his majestic goodness. We will see his majestic goodness. Take a gander at that. Isn't that beautiful? Then it gives us instructions. Goes into what we should do. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knee. Strengthen, not weaken. Strengthen, confirm it, not cause to doubt, but so that they are able to stand up strong. The reason you want to strengthen the feeble, the weak hand and confirm the feeble knee is so that they can stand erect and walk on their own. That's the purpose. And that's our instruction. We are to strengthen the hand and the weakened knee so that they're ready to walk. They are ready to step out on the path he has led them to. And they have the ability to walk on it. Verse 4, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and beat your little backside. No, he will come and what?
Save you.
Isn't that, gosh, it's so magnificent. Don't be, you know, they are to be reproved against their fear. But what delivers men and women from fear? Perfect love does what?
Cast out fear.
And why? Because fear hath torment. And God does not want his people tormented. He doesn't want them to have the weak knee. He doesn't want them to be tormented by the weak knee. He doesn't want them to be tormented by the weak hand. So you want to strengthen them and tell them, fear not, and give them a reason why you have no reason to fear. Don't be afraid. Our God is right there. You know why? Because he is going to come with a vengeance. Now, I want to stop here because the word vengeance, we tend to think from these books and things that we've read, the literature of the hour, or literature of our times, that vengeance means he's going to come and just raise hell and beat everything down and all of that. That is not what that word means. It means the restoration to that which is right. The restoring of that which is right. For God so loved what? The world. If he is going to restore that which is right, then he has to do it in light of what he has said. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So this vengeance means, certainly doesn't mean that he's going to come to beat him up. He's going to come to set everything right, to broaden the path, the way of holiness, even with a recompense. And the recompense is you are going to get back everything the adversary has stolen from you. Everything that fear has caused you not to receive from the promises of God. Everything that has hindered you from the blessings of God that he has in store from you. He is going to come with a vengeance to give you a recompense. He's going to set everything aright and give you everything that the adversary has stolen from you, that he desired for you from the beginning, when God first created the heavens and the earth, and you were already in mind for him. Isn't that beautiful? It is a joyful thing. It is a glorious thing. And he wants you strengthened so that you might receive it. He wants you made whole, because he never pictured you weak. He never saw you injured. But he knows that that can happen, and he wants to restore to you everything that you have missed out on of his blessings and his graciousness. In Joshua 1:9, he tells Joshua, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed." The word dismayed means a failure to proceed from one who is balked by fear. In baseball, they have what they call a balk. It's one of the penalties, so to speak, in baseball. To balk is when you're going to act like you're going to throw somewhere and you don't throw it. You know, you lift your leg and you're pointing like you're going to throw it to home plate, but you throw it to first base to try and get the guy out at first base. But because you made a motion like you were going to go home, you have to complete it in baseball. That's a balk. You acted like you were going there and you never completed it. You acted like you were headed that way, but you never completed it. Don't be balked. That's what he's telling Joshua. Don't be balked. Don't allow yourself to be balked by someone who is balked by fear. Don't allow failure to proceed. He has given us these promises. He has led us to the path. He has shined a light on that path, and it grows brighter day by day. Don't let anything stop you from getting up on that path and moving with it. You have enough information to walk on it. You have enough information to take a step. You know, it's like you put the baby down and you say, okay, come on, come on, come on. And that child starts to wobble a little bit, but it makes that first step and you're so excited. He started to walk. She started to walk. You know, and you're right there to hold her up and so forth. And then you increase the distance and all of those different things. And they know exactly where to go. Come on, Dad's right here. His arms are out. Come on, come on. And they walk out on it. And that's what God desires for us to do. Step on the path. Walk out on it. You will be so blessed. You will be absolutely amazed. There are not words that can describe it. All I can tell you is, here's the path. Take a step on it. You'll be blown away. Not blown off, but blown away by how beautiful it is, how great it is, how gorgeous it is. And what happens when we are balked by fear is then we don't have understanding, because we haven't actually done it. But he wants us to understand, and he wants us to know, but we're not going to get it from just looking at the book and running it. You know, there is profit. Definitely we need to look at the book. This word tells us, study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman. There is a benefit of running the scriptures through your mind, but the greatest benefit is actually stepping out on it. Then you get the understanding and the fruitfulness and the glory and the promise fulfilled. Beautiful. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And that's what he told Joshua. Beautiful. Well, back to Isaiah 35. It says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, Fear not. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm quoting other scriptures that remind me of these great truths. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance to help you, even with a recompense, and he will come and save you, make you whole, absolutely, and you will have all of that blessing. See? Then the eyes of the blind shall be what? Opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. I'm in verse 5. He's going to remove that which blocked your view. You ever go to a sporting event, but even in the movie theater, you go to the movie theater and the person in front of you puts their head right in front of you, and you're trying to look around them and you can't really see. He's going to remove that which blocked your view, and you are going to see it fully. That's understanding. And sometimes we get in our own way and block our own view. But you are going to see it fully and beautifully. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of waters, and thirsty lands springs of waters in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall grass with reeds and rushes. We are in this world. It is a wilderness. There is darkness all around us. But wherever we go, we are going to bring the waters into the desert. We are going to bring the fruitfulness, that Carmel. We are going to bring Sharon to those areas. And those who desire it shall see it, but those who don't will remain blind. Verse 8, and highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Wayfaring man means a pilgrim or someone who's seeking, a searcher, innocent but willing to learn. Though fools, the word fool, that's what the word fools means, an innocent one, but one who is more willing to learn, shall not err therein. Where? On the path of holiness. You can't miss it. You just cannot miss it. It will be so obviously clear, you cannot miss it. No lion, verse 9, shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall, what?
Walk
there. Walk, act, move. And that's it. That is the beauty of it. It is safe there. And you can do it. You can get up on that path. You can walk on it, but the unrighteous cannot. Because the unrighteous do not want to live where you live. They may admire what you have. They may desire what you have. But in order to get what you have, they don't want to do that. And so they will never come up there. It's the safe place to be. Walking on the truth of the Word of God. It's the safest place to be. People criticize Christians and they criticize Christianity and they will not walk where they walk. It's the safest place. if you're concerned about evil men and seducers and all that, and I don't want to get deceived, and I don't want this, and I don't want that, get up on the highway. They don't come up there. They don't want to be there. You know why? Because light exposes the darkness in their lives. They can't live where you live. So don't live, don't you live where they do. And I did want to mention, I forgot to mention when we were in verse 4 about fear. Fear is always wrong to be afraid. But, you know, we are not on fear factor, you know, where you've looked fear in the face and obviously fear is not a factor for you. Our goal is not to look fear in the face and not have it affect us. Our goal and our desire is to look at Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the finisher of our faith. That's what keeps us from fear. Perfect love does what?
Cast out fear.
I allow the perfect love to do its work while I am doing its, you know, while I work it, it does its work and it casts out fear. You know, we're not on Fear Factor. That's just a stupid television program that did all these things. I guess it's entertaining and people liked it, but Fear Factor is not for us. We're not to look, you know, we're not to go seek out, well, I'm afraid of heights, so I'll get up on a tall building and get on the parapet and stand up there just to show and overcome my fears. No, that's not it. Walk in the love of God and you will overcome the true fears. It will not be a part of your life. Walk on the scriptures, seek God, look to God, and fear will no longer be a problem for you. Whether you have fear of going on a Ferris wheel or a roller coaster or something like that or some other different thing, those are nonsensical. If you're uncomfortable, you know, if you're uncomfortable to be on a ride, don't go on the ride. That's simple. You've conquered it. But that's not what we're talking about. It's not looking fear in the face. It's looking Jesus Christ in the face. So we stay on the path of righteousness. We stay on the way of holiness. And we live love, and perfect love casts out fear. So that's great. See, can you do this? Can you get up on the way of righteousness, the way of holiness? Sure you can. You can do it. Now we just need to do it. It's that simple. Look at Luke chapter 6. I want to show you this just in another way of looking at it. Because sometimes we get so concerned, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can. Yes, you can. It's the unrighteous you've been watching who can't do what you do. Don't let them influence you. Looking unto Jesus, who did it? Luke chapter 6. Let's start in, I just want to read verse 19. Is that what I want? Luke 6, 19. Yeah, that's fine. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Then let's go down to verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your what?
Enemies.
Do good to them which hate you. Can you do that? You know, think about it. Can you do that? And you know, you don't need to answer. It's just a personal thing. Can you? Do you think you can do that? You think you could live that way? Because the unrighteous can't. So they're not going to reciprocate back to you. Can you do that? Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Can you do that? The righteous cannot. The unrighteous cannot. They don't have the capability to do that. But can you do it? And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy cloak. Can you do that? You know, the smiting on the cheek, that's traded, it's Oriental culture, Orientalism of not trading insult for insult. Can you do that? And you have to then do it. Then live that way. Step out on it. You want guidance and direction for your life? Here's some of it. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye likewise. Do ye also to them likewise. We call that the golden rule. It requires you to be the initiator, but can you do that? You're only going to get it back to you from those who are on the path of holiness, on the way of holiness, those who are walking on the path. You're not going to get it from unrighteous men because they cannot do that. They don't sleep until they've caused mischief. But can you do it? Or will you be allow yourself to be deterred? Will you be balked by fear? Failure to proceed. Here is what we are to do. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Sure, you see a big crowd around them and they're happy as a lark because they got all these people that seem to be loving them, and they're kind of loving the people back. But get outside of that meeting, get outside of that crew. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be called the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the what? When you really know that God is a restorer in full, that he will come with a vengeance to save you, and you know that vengeance is to set things right, that you, nothing's ever really lost. God keeps account of every last thing. Everything. And God will see none of it is missed for you. You know, I shared in God the Restorer. You know, I know it's painful for someone to go through a miscarriage or have a child die or someone you love die, and you miss out on that particular section of your life, the joy and the blessing of raising that child or, you know, being with that person. But God keeps account of every last drop of it. And he will restore to you completely, in full, all of the blessings that you missed out on because of the works of the adversary and what the adversary has stolen. And he will not forget that child which was miscarried. Even that child will get the blessings. I don't know how all this is done. My brain can't think that far, and it doesn't need to. I just know he, who is so kind and so loving, will absolutely fulfill it. He is that kind of a God. He is that loving. He is that gracious. He is that much light that he will not forget one iota. And he will come with a vengeance. He'll set it all aright, and he will save you. Why wouldn't you want to stay on the path of the just? Why wouldn't you want to just enjoy all of it in this life, knowing he knows our end, which is eternal life, and everything will be fully restored then, and we will have all eternity to enjoy it. Even those things which you in your mind or in your heart think are irreplaceable, he will see that you receive it back in full. He will come in with vengeance, and he will save you. Beautiful. See? Be ye there merciful, in verse 36, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. People may not let you go, but God will unchain you from that incident or that situation, and you will be free to go. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Oh, that don't happen. God says it does. Now, I can believe what I want to, and I'd rather choose that that does happen. And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect, spiritually mature, shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Get up on the way of holiness, where that which blinded you, where that which blocked your view is removed. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth the corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruits. For of a thorn men do not gather figs, nor a bramble bush gather they grapes. Every tree is known by its fruits. You know, an apple doesn't have to wear a nameplate that says apple tree. You walk by it, you see the fruit, you know exactly what kind of tree it is, don't you? When there's no apples there, I have a little problem. Or when we're cutting it up and getting it ready for the fireplace, I am asking Jerry, is this maple? No, that's a piece of red oak. Okay. You know, but it doesn't need to wear a name tag. I can tell by the fruit. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Can you do them? Can you love like he loved? Can you love your enemies? Can you pray for those who despitefully use you? Can you do those things? Then you can walk on that path beautifully. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. The floods come, the winds blow in life. But if it's founded upon the rock, you remain upon the path. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that is without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruins of that house was great. Well, can you do these things? Can we live these things? We will see storms. We will see floods, but we stay upon the high road, that road that is filled with light, that path that shines brighter and brighter, more and more, as we gather more spiritual understanding, and we keep going all the way to that perfect day when we have the perfectly renewed mind, the gathering together, the resurrections, and in that time, God will fulfill all of the promises he has made to us since the foundations of the world. Bless your hearts.